We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. My beautiful mama, Eva Fleming, is over there running the iPad for us this morning. And our guest this morning is Pastor Delight DeWitt Shepherd. How are you doing?
I'm good. Blessed and highly favored. That's how I'm doing.
Amen.
Because of Jesus. Amen.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City, Pastor Chasten Music. We are better together. I think I covered it all. Remember to like, share, and comment so we know you're tuned in. I covered it all.
Now you have.
Would you pray to start us out, please?
I will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we are thankful for this day. Father, even as David wrote in the psalm, this is the day that the Lord has made, and our willful response is to choose to rejoice, to be glad in it, Father God. We may not be facing every situation today that we want to face. There may be things on our agenda that we don't want to have to deal with today. But God, we know one thing for certain. You've already gone before us and made the way, no matter what it is. And Father, you are with us in any and every situation. And Father, every single day we have something wonderful to look forward to, because we know that you are the one who woke us up and gave us life, and that your plans for us are good, plans to prosper and not harm, to give hope and to give us a future. And so we rejoice today, and we thank you. Thank you for letting us be together in this room this morning here, and for joining together, Lord God, however we hear this. And I praise you that, Lord, your will be done, that your anointing will carry us exactly where you want us to go, and that your Holy Spirit will prompt us to speak the things that you want spoken, and give us all ears to hear it and hearts to receive it. And, Lord, let us receive it in such a way that we might be able to take part of it and go give it to someone else and share it with them. I ask your grace, I ask your mercy, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
I like your title.
You do?
Righteous and ready.
Righteous, man. Righteous and ready. You know, there's only one way to get that way. His name is Jesus. Amen. I love this part of the year, this time of the season, because everywhere you go, even for people that probably don't want to see it, They're reminded Christmas. That's why I think sometimes people like to use that Xmas stuff. I don't use that. I know it's easier to spell, but I'm not going to X Jesus out. I'm not going to X Christ out of Christmas. And some of you may hear me and you go, oh, Christmas. Are you going to talk about Christmas today? It's like, well, no, I'm going to talk about Christ. And this whole season is really all about the love that God demonstrated to us. I want you to grab your Bible, if you would. Open up to the Gospel of John, and we're going to start in the beginning. First chapter, chapter 1, verse 1 of John's Gospel. And I want to just make a recommendation to you. If you've not ever watched The Chosen, you should watch The Chosen. I'm thinking about the episodes there toward the end of season one. I think it's the last episode of season one. John is undertaking the writing of the gospel. And every time he kind of gets this revelation of what he's going to write in the gospel, he's sitting there at a table just discussing things with Mother Mary, and every time he just gets it right, it's raining outside and it thunders. And I think, wow, what would it be like if every time we heard from God, it thundered? We're like, oh, that was him. You know what would probably happen? The enemy would probably start trying to figure out ways to make it sound like it thundered. We need to know that we are listening and hearing from the righteous one, and that we belong to him. So John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him, the Word, all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, in my NIV Bible, where it says understood it, it has a little footnote. And if you look at the footnote, and it says the darkness has not overcome it. I like both of those angles to look at it. Jesus came into the world, and the world was filled with darkness. Darkness representing a vacancy, a lack of, you know, darkness really is nothing except an absence of light. That's all it really is. And so when Jesus had not come into the world yet, there was great darkness on the earth because he had not come yet. And men's understanding was darkened, their consciences were darkened, and he shined in the darkness of the world, but the darkness didn't understand it, but also didn't overcome. There came a man, verse 6, who was sent from God, and his name was John, talking about John the Baptizer. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself, John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, Jesus. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And you know what's amazing still? There's still a lot of people that don't recognize Jesus for who he really is. That he is literally, according to this and many other passages in the Bible, he's God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So he was in the world, and the world was made through him, but it didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, speaking of the Jewish people, but his own didn't receive him. Most of the Jews of Jesus' day did not receive him. Verse 12, and yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become. I'm just going to stop on that word for a second. Make you think about it. See, most of the people Jesus came to didn't understand who he really was. Even his own brothers didn't believe, the Bible tells us, until after his resurrection. And it says, so he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But to those who did receive him, and it clarifies what it means to receive him, to those who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become. To become what? Well, it tells us. To become children of God. Children. In Matthew 18:1, Jesus told his disciples, he said, unless you become like a little child, humble yourself, you never enter the kingdom of God. See, we don't come into the kingdom of God being grown-up scholars of the Word. We come into the kingdom of God as children born again. I believe Jesus came to be our total example of everything that a human being can and could be. And he was born as a baby. We know, that's why we celebrate Christmas, but we celebrated it in December. It probably didn't really happen in December, probably more like October, but in December we set aside time to remember and honor and celebrate that God became flesh, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a baby, lived as a child, grew into a man, carried our sin to the cross, was buried and rose again on the third day, ascended to heaven after 40 days on earth, and was seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. That's the whole gospel truth right there. And if we believe that, we receive it as truth, we have the right to become. Now, if I say, that's like when you know, let's hope you don't hear this very often. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right. That doesn't mean it's automatic. If someone tells you have the right to do something, that doesn't mean it's automatically done on your behalf, does it? He said, you have the right. He gave us the right to become. Become implies that we have to become different. If you're going to become something, you're not going to stay what you are. So he gave us the right to change. He gave us the right to become children of the Most High God. The right. Not born, verse 13 says, of natural descent. That means it's just making it real clear. I'm not talking about your natural birth here. Not born of a human decision or husband's will, but born of God. In other words, it's God who got to do this transforming work in you. Verse 14, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And verse 14 tells us that Word became flesh. Became. Now if you look back there again at verse 11, or 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become. He became. In other words, it implies you have to change. You can't stay the same and become something. You have to change. You know, if we were going to summarize the gospel, summarize what Christmas is even all about, you're going to look no further than John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We give gifts in exchange to remind each other of the gift that God gave us, the gift of his love. But many people know John 3:16, but they don't know John 3:17. And we need to know both. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But you need to know this part. For he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that they might have life through him. That's it in a nutshell, and when we believe that. Now, we're going to once again look at verse 12. To all who received him. What if I bought you a gift for Christmas, or you bought me a gift for Christmas? What if you gave your absolute very best, but I don't receive it? What good does it do? It just would sit there wrapped up and useless. A lot of times we've not received the things that God really wants us to have. And there is one gift in particular that God wants you to have that you cannot afford to be without. And that's kind of where our title comes from today, Righteous and Ready. It's the gift of his righteousness. I'll take you over to the book of Romans. Now, I'm going off script here this morning all of a sudden. So let me find out where we're going. I believe we're going to the seventh chapter, maybe the fifth chapter. Let me see. It's the fifth chapter. I remembered kind of where it was in my Bible. I don't know if y'all do that. You ever do that, Monica? You're like, I know that verse is like over here on the right, upper right side or somewhere, but, you know, yeah. I do that. But we get it all marked up, you know. You got to remember where certain things are. So I want to begin actually in Romans 5:12 here. And Romans is a wonderful book. If you've never read it, you should. You should. Sin entered the world through one man. Talking about Adam. Adam and Eve. Their rebellion in the garden. And death came through sin. In this way, death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who didn't sin by breaking a command as Adam did, who was the pattern of the one to come. I want to just stop and say this about sin. It'll get you whether you realize it's sin or not sin. If you are violating God's law, if you're doing things that God says not to do, even if you're unaware, that it's bad. It's going to bring about bad consequences. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So wages means it's something you deserve. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift you cannot earn. Otherwise, it's not a gift. You know, how would you feel about it if you worked all week, Monday through Friday, all day long, and on Friday evening, time to leave, your boss comes and goes, "Hey, I got a gift for you." You know, what is it? Here's the money you earned this week. Like, that's not a gift. I earned that, right? A gift is something you can't earn, and honestly, most likely a gift is something you certainly don't deserve. Let's keep reading. So he's talking about the trespass of sin and how death took advantage of that and reigned over all men, even when they didn't have a written commandment. Verse 15, but now I want you to, maybe you kind of keep track of how many times this passage says the word gift. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? And again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who do what? Receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of what?
Righteousness.
You should stop right there and say, you know what? Righteousness is a gift. It's not something to be earned. It's a gift. You know, this year, I don't care what somebody gets me. One time I got this little nutcracker thing, and I never used a nutcracker in my life. Didn't even know how to use it, you know, or what. It wasn't, to me, it was not like something to just move me to, wow, I got a nutcracker. Wow, I've always dreamed of having a. But because this person wanted to give me something, and that's what they had to give, and it was not an expensive gift at all. But it was something they had and something they wanted to give, and because they wanted me to have it and they wanted to give it, I received it as a treasure. I received it. And because I received it, you know what I did with it? Even though I'd never bought like nuts that you had to crack. I had to get them already done, you know. But I've got me some pecans. I got some walnuts and some. I'm going to use this nutcracker. I'm going to check this thing out. Because I received it, I began to put it into use. And I valued it simply because, not because of how useful it was. That was good. But what really made me value it was that someone cared enough about me to want me to have it. They just blessed me with it. And it's a gift. Now, in case you lost track, I just read the word gift 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. If I didn't miss any. Maybe you can find more. I don't know. But listen, when the Word of God tells me that uses the word gift 5 times in 3 verses, I'm pretty sure he wants me to get it. It's a gift. It's not a reward. It's a gift. But in order for you to have that gift, you have to do the one thing. You just have to receive it. You have to receive it. It says in verse 17, again I read, but if by the trespass of one man death reigned by that one man, how much more? How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life? Reign. That's R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N. Who is it that reigns? And it's royalty. What does it mean to reign? It means to rule over it. So what he's saying here is if you will receive as a gift the abundant provision of God's grace, and implies that grace is not the same thing as the gift of righteousness. Grace and righteousness can't be separated when they come from God, because it is by grace that we are able to receive righteousness. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Even the grace to receive the gift is a gift. That's God bless you right there. You ever get a gift that's really hard to open? Like my kids. Now, anybody that knows my son Justin would know he would do this. He'll buy you a gift that's not all that large. Might be expensive, but it's not all that large. And he'll take that box that it's in, and he might wrap that in duct tape, and then put that little box with tissue in a bigger box and wrap that with some more tape. And he might do it several times just for the fun of it, just to be a little bit ornery. But at the same time, when it comes time to open that, I'll be like, man, and he whips out his pocket knife and hands it to me. Now, I'm telling you what he's doing. He's given me a gift, and he's given me a gift to be able to access the gift that he gave me. If without the gift of the use of the pocket knife, I can't cut through the tape. I can't get to the gift. You know what God's grace is? God's grace is the tool that he gives you to allow you to access the gift that he's really wanting you to have, and that's a gift of righteousness. Isn't that wonderful that God gifts you with the gift to receive the gift? It's all about the gift. Just ask anybody. It's all about the gift. Even Cindy Lou Who knew that it wasn't all about the gift, except for the gift that God gives us. So here, again, put your eyes on it if you can. Verse 17, how much more, I'm reading the latter part of it, how much more, I like more, will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life? That means that you're going to rule over life. It ain't going to rule over you. Boy, I remember when life was ruling over me. It wasn't fun. I didn't like it at all. I sometimes scratch my head in bewilderment thinking when people glorify their life before Jesus and act like they were having a grand old time. I'm like, if you were having such a good time, what are you doing here on the other side of it then? If it was really all that fun, wouldn't you have stayed there? The truth is, it's not all that fun to have a life separated from God. It might have sin, might have pleasure for a season, but it also has a heavy payment, a heavy payment. You know, it's like, it'd be like buying a new car that you couldn't afford. That's what sin is like. Pull that sucker off the lot, you know. You're like, woo, look at me. And then all of a sudden the payment comes. You're like, you know, you can't afford it. You cannot afford to have sin in your life. And God gave you a gift. And the gift is grace to access righteousness, to have access to righteousness. We say, well, what's righteousness? It simply put, it means a right relationship with God. It means that you could come into the presence of God. You don't feel guilty. You don't feel ashamed. All that's done away with. You know he's cleansed you of your sin. You're like, hey, me and God, it's fine. You know, I don't duck my head at all when I come into the presence of God. I come in there like I'm coming into my daddy's house, and he's glad to see me. And I can go to the refrigerator and get whatever he's got. Because he said, everything I have, that's yours. I'm like, awesome. When I go to my mom's house, if I go into my mom's house, I'm respectful of my mom's house, but I know this about my mom. Anything that's in her house that I have need of, have at it. Now, I'm still respectful. I won't go in there and go, oh, she got one bottle of water left. I think I'll just take it, you know, without even telling her. No, I'm respectful of it, but the fact is everything she has, she wants me to have. I'm that way with my kids. If there's a respectful relationship there, I want them to have everything that I can give them. Amen. So, we receive abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, and because of that, we reign in life. Life don't rain on us. And we reign in life, we don't want to miss this next word, verse 17, through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now, is that the Bible saying that Jesus was just a man? No, it's the Bible saying Jesus was a man and God in the flesh. But he reigned in life as a man, a human. I want to take us over to the book of Hebrews real quick. We're just, again, I'm not going by any notes. I'm just listening and going where the Holy Spirit takes us. Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 10. Hebrews 2:10. Well, we'll go to 2:9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels now, crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, that by the grace of God, Jesus, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. If you only think of grace as undeserved favor, you probably heard of grace being called undeserved favor. But if you only think of grace as undeserved favor, you're like, okay, that doesn't make much sense. By the undeserved favor of God, he might taste death for everyone. Well, it makes sense on my end of it. God's undeserved favor towards me caused Jesus to taste death on my behalf. I get that. But grace doesn't just mean undeserved favor. The Apostle Paul said when he had this affliction going on in his life, he said, three times I asked and begged and besought the Lord that he would take away this thorn in my flesh, and the Lord told me what? My grace is sufficient for you. That doesn't mean unmerited favor. What it means is divine enabling. It means God will enable through grace. The grace is about favor that we don't deserve. But that favor that we don't deserve all by itself without God enabling us wouldn't help us to get the gift open. We got to have the pocket knife. So, by the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Verse 10, and bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, would make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Verse 11, here's our power verse. But the one who makes men holy, who is that? It's got to be Jesus. It ain't nobody else. But the one who makes men holy and those who are being made holy are what? Of the same family. And therefore, or so, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Now, for you girls, you ladies, I know that feels a little weird. You're like, Jesus is not ashamed to call me brother. Well, he's not ashamed to call me the bride of Christ either. So just get used to it. No, obviously, it's not talking about gender here. It literally would read that both those who makes people holy and those people who are being made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call you, I want to say it this way, his brother, his sister, his family. He's not ashamed. We're about to come up on a break for prayer here in just a minute or two. As we think about that and get ready to go into that break for prayer, I want to just drop this on you and let you chew on it. We've been talking about the gift of God, God's grace gift that enables us to receive his righteousness gift. And then he reminds us that Jesus tasted death on our behalf. He tasted death on our behalf, and he's not ashamed of us. Here's my question. Are you ashamed of him? I'm not ashamed of him. Boy, every time I go to church, I praise him. What about at work? What about when nobody else is around but your intimate family? Where's Jesus? See, because that grace gift and that righteousness doesn't just apply to when you're out in public and other people can see you, or it applies to every hour of every moment, every day of your life. Righteousness with God, a right standing relationship, a right relationship. Not an on and off. How good do you think my marriage would be if it was an on and off marriage? It wouldn't work very well, would it? It has to be consistent and constant. So I want to remind you, Jesus is not ashamed of you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what you haven't done. He's not ashamed of you. If you didn't need saving, he wouldn't have come as your Savior. If you weren't capable of missing the mark, which is called sin in the Bible, committing sin, he wouldn't have come to pay for it. So as we think about righteous and ready, remember this. You can't make yourself righteous. Only Jesus can. All you have to do is open yourself up to receive the grace that enables you to receive the gift of righteousness and receive it as a gift and then begin to apply it and walk in it. So Jesus is not ashamed of you, and I hope you're not ashamed of him. And because we're not ashamed of him and he's not ashamed of us, we can come into the throne of grace and find help. So we're going to do that. If you haven't got a prayer request to us, you need to get it to us. And we will pray, and we're going to release our faith, aren't we, Monica? We're not just going to pray to take up airtime. I can do that. We're going to pray because we believe God answers prayer, and he gives results. Amen.